Picture yourself as an Allied soldier in World War II. You've watched the battle unfold around you as countless lives from both sides have been sacrificed to give you even a small push towards your objective, and your tanks have only just managed to arrive in time. You're sitting there in the middle of a landlocked section of the world, and you can finally take a second to breathe. And then you hear the guns. It isn't just the amount of noise it makes or the way the ground rumbles. You watch as one of your tanks completely shatters, the ground around it turning into an explosion of dirt and fire. Another shot rings out, blasting apart a building full of your own men. Aircraft drop out of the sky, and machine gun fire cuts through the air, all coming from a single source. You peek out from behind cover and see it. A tank larger than any other, so big that it almost blots out the sunset. Around it is an entire army of men and machines, storming forward as their gigantic weapon wrecks any chance of a counterattack. If you're still imagining it, you can stop now, because thankfully, the Rat never made it out of production. I'm Thomas Slighthome, and this is None in the Chamber. Welcome to None in the Chamber, a series about military technology that didn't manage to get off the ground. I'm Thomas Slighthome, and before we get into this episode, I'd like to make one thing clear. Because of the nature of the Rat and everything about how it was developed, it's very difficult to tell exactly how legitimate it was. This will be covered properly later on, but there are theories that the Rat may have been nothing more than an engineer's joke. When I'm speaking factually in this episode, be sure to take it with a grain of salt, since, obviously, we don't really know the exact truth or what is and isn't real. With that out of the way, let's move on to the Rat. If there's one thing most people know about tanks, it's that they're heavy. The Panzer IV weighed about 25 tons, multiple times the weight of a small or medium modern car. That's pretty heavy, but what if I told you that the Nazis almost built a tank weighing 1,000 tons? Today on None in the Chamber, we'll be looking at two of the heaviest proposed concepts for World War II vehicles, if they were even legitimate proposals at all. However, because they're somewhat similar, they're best covered at the same time, and one can be covered to explain the concept behind the other one. First up is the Landcruiser P-100 Rat. Now, super heavy tanks are nothing new. They've existed ever since World War I. Very few have been successfully developed ever, with the only major success being the French Char 2C. Most other super heavy projects were only prototyped before the war or conflict they were for ended, and others were scrapped or deconstructed without actually being used in the field. Of the few that were built, they rarely ever reached the end of the testing trials, or never got to them in the first place. The general idea behind a super heavy tank is exactly what you would expect. It's a tank that's built to be larger, possess more armour, and generally take on tougher odds. Some would have more specific purposes, like acting as a self-propelled artillery piece, or using their size to include more weapons for breaking through fortifications. Whatever the reason, most of these heavy vehicles were explicitly designed as regular tanks, but on a larger scale. During World War II, these tank concepts took on a different role, specifically when Adolf Hitler started to see them as war winners. His idea was to design tanks large enough to completely dominate the battlefield. A good example was with the Panzer VII Mauser, which was supposed to be a tank powerful enough to destroy any Allied vehicle while taking minimal damage, with the V1 design even boasting the ability to drive under 8 metres of water and mount an anti-aircraft gun on top. However, the RAT was different. Although we don't know who designed it, or whether it was meant to be a legitimate project, the sheer scale of the vehicle alone makes it unique. Following the development, or attempted development, of the Mauser tank, as well as various studies into better construction of certain vehicles, like submarines, Adolf Hitler was given a proposal for the Landcruiser. The idea was to turn the main guns of a Scharnhorst-class battleship into a self-propelled weapon, essentially creating a mobile ship-scale artillery piece that could use the immense shells to decimate all other land targets. As far as we know, the idea was finalised on the 23rd of June 1942 by the director of the armament company known as Krupp. Krupp no longer exist as an independent entity, but they technically still exist because of a merger, so that's just there if you need to know that. The main body was a typical tracked chassis, the same design used on most modern tanks. However, the scale was enormous. When all fitted together, the tank would have had a hull of over 35 metres in length and 14 metres in width, with an overall height of around 11 metres. In certain areas, the armour could be up to 36 centimetres thick, and it had 2 metres of ground clearance. It was, in simple terms, a tank that had been scaled up to ridiculous levels. Hitler himself named the tank the Rat, although the designs themselves were titled one of two things. Either the OKH Aufrag number 30404 or the E3044/1, depending on the exact drawing being mentioned. The plan was for Krupp to manufacture the tanks at some point in 1942, but nobody really knows the exact date this was supposed to happen. According to most accounts, the Landcruiser P-100 RAT was going to be armed with two 54.5 calibre battleship cannons, as mentioned earlier. But that wasn't all it could hold. The design called for a single 128mm anti-tank gun, equivalent to a PAK-44, as well as 8 different FLAK-38 anti-aircraft guns. To deal with infantry, it also had 2 15mm autocannons, the same type that would be mounted on German aircraft. This isn't counting the weapons of the crew themselves, which would most likely be 9x19mm pistols and a handful of submachine guns and rifles, depending on who was riding or operating it. In fact, the crew were actually a major part of the design. Not only did the RAT require 20 crew members to operate, but it could reasonably take as many as 41 people inside. It was planned to not only carry all this weaponry, but to double as a mobile base, containing storage rooms, a lavatory, and even a small infirmary. To make things even more absurd, it was capable of holding 2 R-12 motorcycles for scouting reasons. It could, presumably, hold even more passengers if needed, and there's no telling exactly how much weight or how many items it could hold. The main part of the design process that mattered was the feasibility study. Hitler specifically ordered for one to be conducted, in fact. However, it's generally agreed that the project was cancelled by Albert Speer, the German Minister of Armaments, at some point in 1943. There's various reasons for this. Obviously, it was large and excessively heavy, but it was heavy enough to the point where it could destroy roads simply by driving over them, and bridges would theoretically collapse if it tried to use them. It also had to be able to move itself. Unlike a smaller tank, you couldn't put it on a train. You couldn't drag it with another vehicle. You probably couldn't even put it on a conventional ship. And getting it from place to place basically required that you drive the Land Cruiser over whatever was in the way. There was also no major consideration to what would happen if it got stuck, or how to repair the wheels. However, if it had ever been deployed, or even finished, the weakness that it was most vulnerable to would have been air attacks. The armour on the rat was incredibly thick, and it had anti-air capabilities, but that couldn't stop planes. It also couldn't stop artillery. Since it was so large, it was likely that the enemy force would see it before the rat crew could see them, and saboteurs could potentially slip aboard without immediately being noticed. Unlike a conventional tank, if the crew were kept to a minimum and were all focused on controlling weapons and the tank itself, there was space for a saboteur to simply climb aboard. Surprisingly, it also didn't have much in the way of anti-infantry support, which was surprising for a tank. While, obviously, infantry weapons wouldn't be able to do much damage, the two machine guns would only really cover the front. What made it worse is that the design included ladders on the side for the crew to climb up. This is true of regular tanks as well, or at least some of them, but with the Rat this was significant, considering how tall it was, and how limited the crew's vision actually was while operating it. Theoretically, an enemy could flank it and climb up onto the top surface, where there were fewer defensive options. Since the anti-air guns were up here, as you can expect, someone could disable or kill the operators and leave the tank completely exposed to bombing runs. In some drawings, there isn't even a gun mounted to the back. Many people think that the smaller third cannon was supposed to go there. If it wasn't, or if this simply wasn't going to be filled with a weapon at all, there was no back protection. There was simply no way to stop people from going behind the tank other than using additional forces to protect it. Power and ammunition was equally bad. The turrets, by themselves, needed the equivalent of about 5 stories to operate. They also needed separated rooms with separated shell handling systems and separate magazines, along with separate machinery to actually reload and fire those shells. Even with 2 barrels, instead of the 3 that had been on the original battleship cannon, that only shaved about 50 pounds off the weight, and most of that weight was being re-added anyway with shells. It was so excessively heavy that it made up quite a large bulk of the tank, and that was only 2 of the weapons. Admittedly, the 2 biggest and most important ones, but even still, it was a significant weight. Designed to operate with either 8 Daimler-Benz MB501 engines or a pair of MAN 24-cylinder engines, it was a very greedy vehicle. The problem was, those engines might not have been enough. Now, technically, other vehicles could power it, or it could simply use different engines. But this is a concern, because if the tank itself can't work with the engines that have been added into the design, that probably would have put a lot more time on the manufacturing. And depending on the engines that are actually used, it may require different amounts of fuel with different storage, a different system to connect it all up to the rest of the tank. And that's all valuable time that's being taken up by a project for a very power-hungry vehicle. Of course, depending on the exact systems used for firing the tank as well, it may also drain more power or require more energy when it's being actively used. Maybe it drains a lot of power faster when moving faster. It's not really known because the tank was never made, and it's not really that hard to see why. After being cancelled, all efforts to create the Rat were scrapped. The resources were moved on to more useful projects. However, there was one other project at the same time that used the same general idea. And the Rat wasn't the only land cruiser. We also had the Land Cruiser P1500 Monster. The Monster was an even larger vehicle, weighing almost 1,800 tons when loaded up. The design was surprisingly simple, but overcomplicated. It was the frame of a platform that would mount a Schwerer Gustav K artillery piece, the heaviest artillery weapon ever built. For reference, this was the same gun that needed to be mounted on a train to fire properly, requiring engineers to build tracks so that it could turn. The cannon itself at the time cost 7 million Reichsmark, and was responsible for most of the weight in the design. On board would be a pair of heavy howitzers, along with several aircraft autocannons, not unlike those on the RAT. Although it's not really known where they would be mounted. Perhaps they would simply be built into the design, perhaps they were mounted on the sides, nobody really knows. Unlike the RAT, there were no anti-aircraft weapons. The design of the Monster was odd, and there was actually two different designs. Personally, speaking as myself, I'm not sure which one is which, because there is very little information about exactly which ones were the first one made. The first is more or less the RAT with a single cannon mounted on top, removing most of the other features and weapons in favour of having a Schwerer Gustav K. This is similar to the RAT, it suffers from all the same problems, and in fact more of them by having less actual defensive weaponry, but there's a basis there and it looks like a large tank. The other's more unusual, it was a raised section that held the gun, mounted onto two separate tank bodies beneath it as if they were parts of a train, similar to how the Gustav K was used. Unlike the RAT, it was completely unprotected from any kind of air attacks, and had the same issues of breaking roads, collapsing bridges, and not even being able to fit inside tunnels. However, the Monster was also incredibly slow, with a maximum speed of just over 4 miles an hour. For comparison, the RAT could reach up to 25 miles per hour if enough effort was put in and if it was driving on the correct surfaces. Remember, these are theoretical, neither was actually built, but it seems fairly reasonable to assume that those are correct numbers, or close to correct. Unlike the RAT, the Monster technically could have a crew of over 100. Now, this may be because of the cannon itself. The original Schwerer Gustav technically required about 2,500 people to use, but using it in this case involved setting up the tracks, building the gun, making sure it was ready to fire. In reality, probably didn't require that many people to operate. However, because we don't really know the specifics of the design, it's possible that the gun would need to be built into the frame, like the original Schwerer Gustav did. Again, like the RAT, it was cancelled in 1943 by Speer for being, as we can probably assume, too impractical and completely unnecessary. Despite not being made, both of these weapons are fairly distinct. The RAT has had quite a few appearances in pop culture, including games like Sniper Elite, mods for games, and generally just appears in a lot of weapon history discussions. It's a very interesting concept. It's probably inspired a lot of fictional tanks, especially in fictional universes with very large scales and so on. Both of these vehicles are technically... Both of these vehicles are technically on the list of super heavy tanks, and that's a very short list. They're in quite exclusive company. The only problem is neither were actually built, and there isn't any reason to build them anymore. Not only is a war like that hopefully not going to happen again, a tank that scale simply isn't practical in modern warfare. It probably wasn't even practical then. After a certain point, a tank just stops being as useful if you increase it in scale. The Schwerer Gustav was an exception because that was a gun and that was used. That took out multiple targets from a distance, and while it didn't win the Nazis the war, having it around definitely helped. The Rat and the Monster, being fairly similar in many ways, just didn't really fill a niche that needed to be filled. Adolf Hitler and the Nazis in general had quite an obsession with weapons that could win the war, but very few of them were ever made, and even fewer would have worked. Perhaps the Rat and its cousin the Monster are simply elements of history that need to be forgotten, so that nobody builds them again and runs over a road or something.